how to do it right and how to do it wrong. So we're going to look at three examples. One is an example of how to do it wrong. And I think we all know the example there. So we're going to talk about Korach in a moment. The example of how to do it right when you agree with things that are going on is going to be Moses. And then we're going to dip into the Haftorah portion on how to do things when you don't necessarily agree with what Adonai is allowing to happen. And that's going to be Samuel. So those are going to be our three examples for today that we're going to be looking at. And the first one is going to be Moses, as I said. It's actually going to be Korach, as I said. So Korach, let's reread Numbers 1 through 3. I know I've read this a couple of times. Each time, you know, it's funny. Each time I'm going one verse later. You know, first time I read it and it was verse 1 and then the 2. And now I'm going 1, 2, and 3. So let's start right there. Because this was someone who had influence, had responsibilities, and was well known and respected in Israel. And it says, starting in verse 1, now Korah, son of Issachar, son of Kohath, son of Levi, son of the sons of Reuben, Dathan, and Abiram, sons of Eliab, and An, son of Peleth, rose up against Moses and took 250 men from Bnei Israel, men of renown, who had been appointed to the council. They assembled against Moses and Aaron. They said to them, you have gone too far. All the community is holy, all of them, and Adonai is with them. Then why do you exalt yourself above the assembly of Adonai? So just those words that we hear them, you know, what do we hear? We hear some jealousy in there. We hear possibly some anger in there. But without a doubt, but what we know from reading through is he did not consult Adonai before doing anything. He knew what he wanted to do, and he was just going to do it. He did not take counsel of Adonai. Apparently, he gathered enough people, and he was gaining this momentum, and you know, he may have been taking counsel of men, but he certainly did not take counsel of Adonai. So, planning without Adonai's input, what is that? That is just pride. You know, that's just another way of saying pride. The hardening of the heart causes men not to approach Adonai to gain wisdom and to gain a plan. Korach acted without going to Adonai. Look at what Proverbs 19 says about plans where Adonai are not involved from the very start. Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but the counsel of Adonai will stand. What is desired in a man is loyalty, and a poor person is better than a liar. When Adonai is in the plans stand. Or succeeds. When not, it just falls apart and fails. It's the Lord's desire for us to be loyal to Him and Him alone. It was not just Korah who has the issue in the heart. We can see a few times in Scripture, and I'm going to show you a couple more examples of people who had this hard heart, this pride. Now, in Obadiah, you know, that's one of those books everyone reads every once in a while, right? Y'all can turn to Obadiah real quick, I bet. I know I got you to wait a second. It's a couple of pages here somewhere. But Obadiah 1 through 3. Obadiah 1, verse 3. The arrogance of your heart has deceived you, living in the clefts of the rock. His dwelling place is lofty, saying in his heart, who shall bring me down to the earth? Excuse me. Now, of course, Obadiah was not speaking specifically about Korah. But does this not sound like he's describing Korah? Bringing him down to the earth? He not only brought him down to the earth, he brought him down under the earth. Korah's heart was deceived. And his heart deceived his mind. He was no longer able to tell the difference between all the Lord says all of Israel is holy, and that being compared to all of Israel has a specific job that I appoint for them. Each man has his job. And just because you're holy doesn't mean that you're able and should be doing every job. There are certain things prescribed for certain people. This pride welled up in Korah and did not see the difference. He was called to priesthood, to that position of actually handling the furnishings of the sanctuary. That was the call of his family, right? He couldn't gaze upon them, but once they were all wrapped up, he had the honor of carrying the things of the sanctuary. But that was not enough for him. Daniel 5 gives another example. Daniel 5:20. But when his heart became haughty and his spirit hardened with pride, he was disposed from his royal throne and stripped of his glory. Now, Daniel's speaking about King Belshazzar, but it's also what happened to Korah. He and his family had that position of honor, but he wanted more. He wanted leadership, he wanted the priesthood. Either way, that was not what he was called to do. You know, it's funny. Korach actually accuses Moses of acting without Adonai's direction. But we see very plainly it actually is just the opposite. It was Korach who was acting without Adonai's direction. And we know what happened to him. He was swallowed up along with his family in the earth. So let's go on to Moses now as our next example. Moses went to Adonai for validation, and it was Adonai who vindicated him and Aaron when he heard the attacks of Korah towards them. And I believe at that time, Moses was feeling pressures of leadership and confrontations from people all the time, right? We see it. You know, the further up you rise in leadership, the more the pressure's on. And the more that you rise up, the more people come against you. It's a surprising thing, but it happens everywhere. I got to think that the pressures that the President of the United States are under, you know, regardless of how easygoing a man may feel, the pressures of those responsibilities are great and will push down on the shoulders of any man who takes that office. And therefore, we should not take that lightly. Moses is confronted the same way all the time. And we read in verse 3 to see Korach's action. So now let's see what verse 4 says about what Moses' reaction was. And it's a short one. Numbers 16:4. Then Moses heard this, he fell on his face. We see the first thing Moses did when the people were coming against him, he went to the Lord. It's a short and to the point verse. It doesn't need a whole lot. He went to the Lord. It doesn't say he tried to figure out the motives of Korah. It doesn't say he tried to, you know, bargain with him and talk him into things. You know, maybe he did. It doesn't say it, but this is certainly, because of the way it's written, the first right, correct, strong thing he did. He went to the Lord. What should I do about this? It was during this time that Moses had with Adonai that he was told the plan. He was told how he was going to show plainly to all of Israel who he and Aaron were and who was going to be accepted to come close to the Lord. Unlike Korah, Moses did not come up with the plan and then run to try to implement it. He didn't come up with a plan and then go to Adonai and say, hey, look, I got it all figured out. Why don't you just sign right here and I'll take care of the rest of it for you. He went and got the plan from Adonai. Now, I think as Adonai laid it out, Moses understood pretty much what was going to happen. He knew the correct way to handle the censers or the fire pans. He knew who was supposed to present it. He knew what would happen if the wrong people approached Adonai in that way. But I think the people didn't understand. They didn't have that same depth of knowledge of Torah, of the law, and what would happen to someone who approached incorrectly. Which is kind of strange because it was not that long ago that Aaron's sons were burnt up in fire for coming to the Lord with strange fire. So they should have had an idea, but they did not. So Moses got the plan and relayed it to the people. And then we're told in Numbers 16:5, then he said to Korah and all the following, say, in the morning Adonai will reveal who is his and who is holy. The one whom he will let come near to him will be the one he chooses to come near to him. Like I said, I'm sure Moses knew the why. I think he knew what was going to happen. You know, it was not unusual for Israel to get decisions from Adonai. Not only did we see the strange fire being offered and what happened there, but they already had the Urim and Thummim that they would use to see how the Lord was making decisions. So it was not unusual for tests to go forth. And what should we do, Lord? Well, let's throw the Urim and Thummim and he'll tell us what to do. So that was not unusual for them. They had the experience of Adonai making decisions for them. We know that Moses had full confidence in Adonai and that he believed that he was walking in the right way, and that Aaron was supposed to be the priest and the head of the priesthood. He knew he was walking the right path because he got it directly from Adonai. So there was no uneasiness in Moses about this plan. Moses, I'm sure, was very comfortable with it all. And shouldn't we all be when we get the plan from Adonai? That's when we can be the most comfortable. We may not always understand all of it. It may push us into areas that we're being stretched. But when I say we should be comfortable with it, we should be comfortable with the idea that it came from the Lord, therefore it's true. If you know where the plan came from, then you should have full confidence that this is the truth that we'll walk in. Moses was sure that the people would know after this test what the will of God was. That Moses was to lead the people and Aaron would be the priest. Now David put it this way in Psalm 37 when speaking about trusting in Adonai. 37:5 says, commit your way to Adonai. Trust in him and he will do it. He will bring out your vindication as light and your cause will shine as noonday. Be still before Adonai and wait patiently for him. Do not fret over one prospering in his way, over one carrying out wicked schemes. For Moses and Aaron, it may have seemed that Korah was already prospering. He had 250 of the leaders following after him. And you know, if he had 250 leaders following after him, each one of those leaders had a bunch of people following after him. So there's probably a large number of people following Korah. This is not a small band following after this rebel. But Moses, even before David said these words or wrote them down, Moses knew, trust in Adonai. Trust Adonai and he will bring vindication. And that's exactly what happened. Moses had faith and trust in Adonai that was unshakable. It did not matter. It was part of his character to trust Adonai. But we also know that Moses not only loved the Lord, he loved the people of Israel. Even when the anger of Adonai flares up against the people, Moses still loved and stood up for the people in intercessory prayer. After the ground opened up and swallowed Korah and his families, and then fire after that came and swallowed and burnt up the 250 who were offering fires and censers that they weren't supposed to, Moses and Aaron still entered into prayer for Israel to limit the Lord's consequences towards Israel. He never turned his back on the people and said, oh, well, you know, let them go their way. You know, the Lord's going to decide what's going to happen to them. Obviously, the Lord's going to decide what happens to them. But Moses still loved even those who came after him, came to persecute and attack and confront him. You know, Moses probably thinks, after the 250 are burnt up, after the ground swallows up Korah and the other families, hey, all right, things are settled now. Things are going to get a bit easier now, huh? Let's read Numbers 16:41. The next day, the entire community of B'nai Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, saying, you killed Adonai's people. But when they gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron and turned towards the tent of meeting, behold, the cloud covered it and the glory appeared. Moses and Aaron went to the front of the tent of meeting. Adonai spoke to Moses, saying, get away from this assembly so that I may immediately consume them. So they fell on their faces. Without a doubt, Moses' heart was to do the Lord's will, Adonai's will. But it was also to protect and pray for Israel and all the people who are still coming against him, even as they were. Moses had that love in his heart for the people, even a rebellious people that seemed to want to do harm towards him. Moses was able to separate the many feelings that he must have been having in order to come back to Adonai and ask that he would not slaughter all of Israel. This is not even the first time the Lord said, separate yourself. I'm going to make a whole new people just out of you. And I'm going to do away with the rest of them. They're all in rebellion. Let's start over. I did it once with Noah. I can do it again. He falls on his face before Adonai. And then as the plague starts coming out and killing people, he tells Aaron, take fire, put it in your censer, and go and make atonement for the people. And Aaron, who the people came against, stood between the living and the dead and stopped the plague. What a heart. What a heart both of them had. I pray I have it as well. So our third example, all right? So now we have what happens to someone who has a hard heart and makes plans without Adonai. What happens with Moses, who has that good heart and wants to do what Adonai wants to do? But let's look at Samuel for our third example, our final example of the relationship that he had with Adonai. And a hard attitude who doesn't quite line up with the Lord. Samuel went to Adonai. Let's just remind ourselves what's happened now. Samuel goes to Adonai and says, the people want a king. He knows the king of Israel is Adonai himself. But here the people want a human king, a man to be their king. Samuel knows it's wrong. But he goes before Adonai for the plan. So let's go to Samuel, 1 Samuel 12:19. And all the people said to Samuel, pray for your servants to Adonai your God, that we would not die. For we had added to all our sin this evil by asking for ourselves a king. And Samuel said to the people, fear not. Indeed, you have done all this evil, yet do not turn aside from following Adonai, but worship Adonai with all your heart. Do not turn aside to go after empty things that cannot profit or deliver, for they are futile. For Adonai will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased Adonai to make you a people for himself. Although Samuel knew what to do, or what should be done, which is, don't appoint the king. That's what he would have done. He went to Adonai to see what should be done. Adonai tells him, appoint the king. So what does Samuel do? He goes all in on the Lord's plan. I don't understand it, but okay, here we go. And if you say it, so be it, and I'm behind it. You know, it's sort of like, I don't know if you know Smith's Wigglesworth from the 1800s in England. I used to have it embroidered on a little thing that said, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Amen. God said it, Samuel believed it, and he was all in on the plan. He was going to do it. And he was just like Moses. He was going to continue praying for Israel. We know that because 1 Samuel 12:23 says, moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against Adonai by ceasing to pray for you. Yet I will keep instructing you in the good and straight way. Samuel had that heart for Israel because he knew the heart of Adonai was for Israel as well. He knew it would be a sin to stop praying for the people of Israel. And this is where we are as well. You know, and I'm not talking just about the relationships that we have here, the relationships we have in our family. Talking about even the relationship with rabbinic Judaism. They've gone and they've made their rules, they've made their ways, what did they do to Torah? But what do? We don't turn our back on them. We keep praying for them. We keep speaking to them. We keep showing them Torah. and what it actually says. Point them in the right direction. Give them as much wisdom as we can. Samuel truly had the same faith in Adonai. Even when he didn't agree, he knew what to do. And we see this in Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah 10:23 says, I know, Adonai, that a man's way is not his own, nor does man, as he walks, direct his steps. Samuel wanted his steps to go this way, but he knew Adonai was going to direct his steps the correct way. Samuel's steps would have been, no, we're not appointing a king. We're walking with Adonai. But Adonai says, don't worry. Walk with me. This is the plan. And he bought into it fully because he knows Adonai's plan is the perfect plan. Samuel may not have wanted to give him a king, but Adonai did for whatever reason. Adonai, perfect in every way. Understandable in every way? Not by me, I can tell you that. You know, do we understand everything he does? Not by a long shot. But that's where faith comes in. That's where trust comes in. I will walk with you, though I do not know where we're even going sometimes. But you know, and you're perfect. You know, that's why I came to you for your plan. Korah didn't wait. Korah didn't wait for the plan. Moses waited for the plan. Samuel waited for the plan. So what does wait mean? Saw an acronym. I really like this. Wait. Why am I talking? W-A-I-T. Why am I talking? I should be listening. I should be listening to Adonai. Why am I talking? That's what it means to wait on the Lord. You present your case, and then you wait on the Lord. Adonai wants to speak to us. But you know, if our mouth is open, our ears are closed. You know, when you're having a conversation, if you're trying to say something to someone and they're already talking back to you, all they're doing is talking back to you. They're not really responding to what you said because they weren't listening. So how do we hear from Adonai? Present and then wait. And listen. You know what? Sometimes it doesn't come right away. But we still wait. Sometimes the answer is to wait. Okay. If that's what it takes, that's what I'll do. I'll wait on you, Lord. You want to tell me how long I'm going to wait? No? Okay. I'll just keep waiting then. That's all right. Because I know your plan is perfect. And if it's not to be right now, it's because your timing is perfect as well. So here we have these three stories of three men. And they're things for us to follow. We need to wait on the Lord. We need not to speak until the Lord tells us what to speak. Now, you know, there are many conversations that we have that we can just babble on. They're, you know, fairly meaningless. Maybe during Oneg, you're talking about things and, you know, those kinds of things. I'm not saying everything you say and everything, every thought comes into your mind. Wait a second, let me check with the Lord. He says we should go for pizza. You know, not everything is bad. You have to check. But your lifestyle is about him. And that's what's in check. Sometimes he's going to tell you to go for pizza. because there's someone there you're supposed to have an encounter with. So you still have to be open. But when you're speaking about the things of the Lord, you should have your spirit open to what he says. And you wait for him to speak. This is why we need to keep the words of the written Torah in our heart. They guide us on what to do. And sometimes that guidance of what to do is how to approach him and then wait and listen. Sometimes it's the correct way of doing things. If Korach knew the correct way of bringing fire before Adonai, he would have known it was the priests who were only allowed to bring the fire. The 250 would not have been burnt up. He should have been happy with what he was assigned. He was not. How do I say this? You know, I don't like to come across as bashing rabbinic Judaism all the time. I struggle with that. I'll be honest with you. I struggle with it. Because I see what they did to Torah. And I go, it's just not right. So what do? We keep pointing them back to the written Torah. They'll say, but oral Torah says. And I'll say, okay, but this is written. Am I going to believe something that was said orally or something written? If I go into the court of law and he says, Rabbi Larry said he was going to do this. And I say, I've got a written contract that said I'm going to do that. Which one carries more weight? Of course the written does. I believe God in the same way. The written has more weight than the oral. Now, the oral law has some really nice and good things to follow. We're not saying it's all bad. But I am saying specifically if there's a difference between the two, and there are a lot of differences between the two, go with the written. God put it in writing for a reason. And you say, oh, but oral law is written down now. Too late. He gave it on Mount Sinai for a reason. God can accept challenges from us. If we have the right heart attitude, is what I'm saying here for this message. Korach had the wrong heart attitude. If his heart attitude was, Adonai, you said we're all holy, so why can't I do this? Why shouldn't I do this? Things may have been very different. But he said, instead, we're all holy, I'm going to do this. That is not the heart attitude Adonai is going to want from us. He'll gladly, God has shoulders so big, he can accept our questions. And he is so great, he can answer them. Now, in Judaism, Korach is seen as both a hero and a villain. Believe it or not, as a hero at times. Because they see the same rebellion in every man that Korach had. So they can relate to him. We can relate to Korach, too. But the rebellion is not right. The questioning is right. Rebellion, not right. So I say to my Jewish brethren who who may be watching on the live stream, question Adonai. Read Torah. Directly read Torah. Don't read your commentaries at the moment. Don't read Talmud at the moment. But read Torah and know that's the written word of God right to you. Read what Torah says. What does it say? It says atonement is made by the blood. Leviticus 17 says it's the blood that I gave for atonement. Do you think that Adonai would leave us alone after the destruction of the temple with no way to make atonement? That is not a loving God. Adonai did not destroy the temple until after there was another way of atonement. But it's not another way. It still follows Levitical laws. It's still by the blood. It's the blood that was spilled once for always. The perfect blood of a perfect sacrifice that lasts for all eternity. That of a Messiah. Messiah Yeshua, who died for your sins, to die so that you would be atoned for. It's there in Torah, and I'm challenging you to read it and see and know what Adonai has in plans for you. Father, we just thank you that you've made your plans known to us. They are not strange plans. They're not foreign plans. They're not plans that we have to jump through hoops to understand. It's right there in your Torah, in your laws. And you've given it to us on Mount Sinai and point us back to them over and over again through your prophets. We read Isaiah points us back over and over to a Messiah. And all we need do is look at our history to know that they've been fulfilled through Yeshua. Open our hearts. Ruach HaKodesh, open our hearts so that we may know you better. We may know your plan, the perfect plan of salvation for eternity. Open our hearts and our minds so that we would know, all of Israel will know, that there is an eternity. Now perhaps the rabbis will say there's no eternity. We just don't know. We do know. The rabbis will say everyone will get into eternity, but you may have to work at it after death in order to come into his presence. It's not what Torah says. It's not what Torah says. So I ask that you, Ruach HaKodesh, open the hearts of your people. Open the hearts of all people so that they would know who you are and your very heart for them. I just thank you for the works that you're doing. And I thank you that it's your work and not our work. Because the works of man, the hands of man, cannot cause eternity to open up for us. Cannot cause the atonement that blood will cause. It's your blood and your blood alone. So we thank you for the words you've given us through your Torah, the words you've given us through your prophets, the words you've given us through your writings that point us to a Messiah that has already come unto the earth for your people. thank you that as long as we have breath, it is not too late. We just ask that you would do something special in every heart today that does not yet know your Messiah. And we thank you in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen.